So we've been walking our way through the passages that address the last days. And we've looked at six of the 25 characteristics of the last days so far. So by way of review, anybody have good notes and know the six characteristics? Nobody? So number one, depart from the faith. Number two, false doctrine. We see it all around us. Number three, lies. Number four, conscience seared. Number five, separation, abstaining, and so forth, coming up with all these different separation groups. And number six was covetousness. So those are the first six characteristics of the last days we've looked at so far. The seventh one here, 2 Timothy 3:2, it says men shall be lovers of their own selves. So we pretty much covered that at family camp, didn't we? Selfishness. But God says that that will be another one of the characteristics of the last days, as men would be much more self-focused than maybe they used to be. And of course, we see that is true, don't we? That selfishness pretty much rules the day now. And so we'll look at some scriptures on this. But first, let's pray, and then we'll dive in. Lord, thank you for the privilege of studying your word together. And Lord, I pray that these scriptures would just help us to be that much more prepared and armed for your return as we tell others and warn them. And also we pray for the teachers throughout the buildings that you would give them wisdom too, and much learning of your word would take place. So we give you this service and love you and pray in Christ's name. Amen. So men will be lovers of their own selves. Mark chapter 8, let's turn over there. Brother Scott, would you read verses 36 and 37? But Jesus warns us all through the scriptures about being self-focused. And again, we covered this in detail at family camp. But it would be a characteristic of what we would see in the last days. So could you read Mark 8, 36 and 37?
For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? For what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?
So what shall a man profit if he gain the whole world? The world is trying to gain, 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 right? Get, and lose his own soul. And that's what's happening to most people. They're going to lose their soul to hell, but they're gaining, gaining, gaining. It's all about self, making self happy, pleasing self. And sure enough, we see it all around us that this would be one of the characteristics is selfishness. Men, society in general has become much more selfish than used to be. And then Romans 15, one of the passages we looked at family camp. Let's turn there, verses 1 to 3. Speaking to us as God's children, how we are to not be self-focused, selfish. So who would read, actually, Philip, if you would read 15, 1 to 3 of Romans.
We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak, and not to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good, to edification. But even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproach thee fell on me.
So that's the exact opposite of what we just read in 2 Timothy, isn't it? It said lovers of their own selves. Here it says we're not to please ourselves. So the exact opposite is Christianity, where we're not to be self-focused, we're to be others-focused, God-focused. Whereas one of the characteristics of the last days is everyone will be self-focused. So thoughts, questions about this seventh characteristic of the last days. Do we see it around us? Can you think of any other obvious evidences of this characteristic? Anybody? Rachel? Say again? Yes, that would. Yep, putting yourself first. Other thoughts, questions about this characteristic? Say again? Very, very self-focused, yep. Anything else? Yep, greed is part of it. Social media. 50 years ago, people didn't even know what that was because it didn't exist. Amazing, isn't it? Anything else? So
they can't do each other.
That's
they can't and help each other.
That's what we're supposed to do.
Need.
Yep, amen. So men will be lovers of their own selves, selfishness. Anybody ever heard the phrase self-esteem? That permeates society today, doesn't it? What does that mean? What does that really mean, self-esteem? Right. What it means is that we should be promoting self, essentially. And we should love ourselves more. But the Bible says, actually, we shouldn't love ourselves because we're a sinner. We should be love God. Jackie?
That's the dangerous thing about our mental health system today, is that they're essentially saying that they're trying to help people with mental health issues, but what they're actually doing is pointing everyone to self, and it's all about love yourself, put yourself first. And it's not helpful at all.
No, but that's the way it all goes. Even worldly marital counseling. You go to a worldly marital counselor, well, what makes you happy? If it makes you happy to split, then split. It's not what's best for you as a couple, but what makes you happy. It's all about self, isn't it? And yeah, that's what we see all around us. So lovers of their own selves would be one of the characteristics of the last season. Any other thoughts or questions? Benny. Right.
So if we've got a problem, we look.
We have the power.
We look into the body which has the problem and expect a solution, and it doesn't work.
No.
We have to look outward.
Because we're looking into a heart that's deceitful, desperately wicked. So men will be lovers of their own selves. We definitely see that. It's obvious. Any other thoughts or questions? We'll move on to number 8. 2 Timothy 3:3. Okay, one word there, incontinent. So again, going back to family camp, this word means in modern day no self-control. That men would be basically just do whatever they want to do. There would be no continency. There would be no control. Men would just do whatever they wanted to do and please the flesh at all costs. On down in verse 4, it says, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. And, wow, does that ever characterize today's society? This no self-control. And then over in Jude, if you want to turn there, another passage on the last days, there's another word that ties in with this characteristic. Jude verse 19. It says, these be they who separate themselves. We looked at that characteristic. But the next, look at this next word, sensual. So another description of the last days is incontinent, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, sensual. And we see this, don't we? I mean, it's all about the flesh now and making sure we please the flesh at all costs. Essentially pursuing fleshly happiness, like we talked at camp, above all else, rather than pursuing God and our Creator and making sure we please Him. It's all about what makes the flesh happy, what pleases the flesh. And now it's, you know, fleshly sins have become the norm and acceptable, haven't they? And we looked at the Romans 16:18 is another verse on this. Howard, if you'd read that for us, Romans 16:18. So it's not a new thing, it's just it would be more prevalent in the last days.
For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple.
So they don't serve the Lord, but they serve their own belly. That's a good description, isn't it? In other words, they're serving the flesh. What makes my belly happy? What makes my flesh happy? So this pursuit of fleshly pleasure above all else, no self-control. And it's become the norm, hasn't it? I mean, it used to, believe it or not, it used to be considered sinful to get involved in premarital sex. That was actually a bad thing 50, 100 years ago. Now it's just expected, isn't it? Well, that's what we see. This lovers of pleasures, more the lovers of God, sensual, incontinent. And God said that this would happen. We're told as Christians to possess our vessel in sanctification and honor. We're told to be in control of our flesh, to take control of our flesh, like we talked at family camp. So any thoughts or questions about this eighth characteristic, which is loving the flesh, pleasing the flesh above all costs? Any thoughts, questions? Of course, now we have pornography to help with this. Yes, Tanya?
And pleasing the flesh always leads to the most unhappy people.
That's right.
The most unhappy people are those who have the most and are doing everything they want, the more they do, but they don't, and they're the most unhappy people. And then the most angry people.
Good point. You know, you think about, what word am I thinking of? Famous, rich, whatever, actors, actresses, all that. They have all these drug problems and all these other problems, and they commit suicide. Well, how can that be? They have everything, quote unquote, right? And yet they're unhappy. How can that be? Well, because the pursuit of pleasing the flesh doesn't bring happiness, like we looked at family camp. God says, he that keepeth the law, happy is he. Proverbs 29:18. Our Creator knows what makes us happy. And what makes us truly happy is pleasing him and obeying his commandments. But we think what makes us happy as humans is to try to please the flesh above all costs. And it doesn't work. But that is what we see. So that's our eighth characteristic of the last days. It's incontinent, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, sensual. Any other thoughts or questions before we go to number nine? Rachel. That's right. That's exactly right. No, I know what you're saying. And actually it goes to number nine. The ninth characteristic says despisers of those that are good. So hating Christians. And the world hates those that are good even more and more, doesn't it? Yeah, it used to be, I mean, we built our laws on the Bible. Our societies did, or Western societies. And now, forget the Bible. Anybody who believes the Bible and thinks it's a guide for us, those are the people that are the most hated now by society. So it's completely, like Rachel said, completely flipped around. 2 Peter 2:2, let's turn there. Another phrase along these lines. But it's basically that the world, more and more here in these last days, is going to hate Christians. And sure enough, we all know this to be true, that when people stand for what's right, they are the most hated and vilified in society. 2 Peter 2:2 says, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. So people would speak evil of the way of truth, which the way of truth, there's only one way of truth, right? And that's God's way through his word. God said it would be evil spoken of. And sure enough, that is the case, isn't it? And, you know, even here in New Zealand, it might not be long before it's illegal to witness to someone. It could come. Because that could be considered hate speech. That's exactly where it's leading. So, you know, stay tuned. But it's not going to get better.
It's getting worse.
The Bible says evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. So until Jesus blows that trumpet and calls us home, it's not going to get better. It's only going to get worse as far as the world hating Christianity. But you know, Jesus said, "He that despiseth you despiseth me." They don't really hate us, do they? They hate Jesus. Amen, Jan. We should, but I'm talking about the world. The world hates Christianity. They hate what we stand for. So they don't really hate us as a person, but they hate what we stand for and they hate who we stand for. And that is God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Go to John 15:19. Jesus warned the disciples that this would happen. So again, it's not a new thing, it's just a more prevalent thing. John 15:19. Mark Zeus, could you read that for us, please?
If you are of the world, the world will love his own. But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world will hate it.
So why does the world hate us? Because Jesus has chosen us. When we chose him, he chose us. And that's what he says. Because you're not of the world, because you've chosen Christ, therefore the world hateth you. John said in 1 John 3:13, "Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hate you." And we are seeing this more and more. One more passage, 1 Peter 2:12. Kelvin, would you read that for us? Along this characteristic number 9 of the world hating Christians more. 1 Peter 2:12.
"Is your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may be your good works, which they should behold, glorify God in the day of this visitation?"
So it says, speak against you as evildoers. So now the ones who are trying to do right are the evil ones. Isn't that interesting how that's been turned around by the world? So now the evil ones are the ones standing for right. And so that's definitely a characteristic of the last days. We definitely see it all around us, to where Christianity, despisers of those that are good. And we're not intrinsically good, are we? But we are representative of the only good one, which is God, who has given us his presence, given us his salvation, and given us a desire to do good and to try to obey him and live a good life. And Jesus said, "Let your light so shine before men," right? What did he mean by that? He meant, live for me, live my commandments, do right. And as we do that here in these last days, they're just going to hate us more and more, the world. So definitely a characteristic. Any thoughts or questions about this ninth characteristic, that they would be haters of those that are good? I mean, I know you guys watch the news. You can see it's happening in the States in a big way, isn't it? Yes?
Yeah, I think that, well, also it's a guilt complex. They feel judged, they know they're doing wrong.
Deep inside, I think you're right. Although a lot of them have their seared conscience, some still have a conscience. And yes, their conscience tells them that sin is wrong, because God gave us that. And so they can respond by saying, "I'm wrong and I need God." Or, like you say, attack those that are making them feel that way. Yeah. Like when you're at work and you stand for the Lord, you're the bad guy. Why? You're not attacking them, you're not hurting them in any way, but you represent the Lord, which that brings, like you say, brings conviction. Mark? You had your hand up? It might come back, but you know, I understand. Kelvin.
Because I haven't said anything to them, they go out of their way to come
I did this. What do you think about this? I think that you're right, it's they're taking the Lord then also. I think that is that what they're just saying about them feeling guilty. They know what they're doing is wrong.
And that's a good thing because there's still hope.
I was just thinking about how it says that they're not angry at us, they're angry at God. And how important it is to not take their words and their attacks personally, because then it can get really easy to get sucked into like politics and all those kinds of things, and fighting against the people instead of sin. And so just how important it is to keep it in perspective that it's not us that they're angry at.
That's a good point. Don't get drug into an argument or a debate. Yes.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's just mankind's nature. I mean, even though not we'll talk about Christians, society, you know, if you stand for law and order, police officers, you know, they're ridiculed for everything, for standing up for what's right. I mean, you probably remember it when you went to school. And you know, those students, they were used to call them goody-goodies.
Yep.
You know? Clean the dustboard and all that stuff like that. And they also stood at, and the other kids used to pick on them, or, you know, because the teacher's pet.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's an innate nature in mankind that sort of prefers darkness, and I think that light shines on that they do. I mean, whether it be Christian or whatever other faith or where you stand, if it's for good, then society prefers darkness, and they'll find the newspapers, they'll try and. Anybody standing for right, they'll try and find some way to tarnish them.
Yep. So it's all around us. Any other thoughts or questions about this ninth characteristic of essentially the world hates Christians more? Yes?
We just have to be careful also the attacks that come into the church. There's lots of Christians devouring Christians, which is very disheartening. It's supposed to be encouraging and loving one another. And then you have brothers and sisters in Christ attacking each other. You just look like a joke in the world.
And always biblically. Amen. Amen. Any other thoughts or questions about this ninth characteristic? Jackie.
I think the Lord's gone mad.
We all agree with you, Jan. We all agree with you. Jackie?
The whole thing that you're saying about how these things, you know, we could, as New Zealanders, be looking at these things we were banned from. Well, it's so close to home, because in Australia, in Victoria, they have just passed a law called the conversion law, where anyone who tries to dissuade a person who is thinking that they're homosexual or bisexual or, you know, this gender dysphoria, whatever they call it, if you try and persuade them otherwise, it's considered now a criminal offence. So, and they even name prayer as one of the things that is considered. So even if someone voluntarily comes to you and asks for prayer because they're struggling with that, if you do that and someone reports you, it is now considered a criminal offence in Australia, and they're trying to get it through in all the other states. And it's one of the things that our government was looking at doing, this conversion thing, before this last election. So I think it's a lot closer than we realize.
Oh yeah, it's close. Mm-hmm. It's coming. It just means Jesus is coming. Amen.
And I'm looking forward to it, Jesus.
Amen. We all are. All right, so let's move on to number 10, 2 Timothy 3:2. It says that we boasters and proud. So the 10th characteristic is pride everywhere. We don't really need to talk much about this when we see it, don't we? Remember, the root cause of Satan's fall was pride. And pride gets us into a lot of trouble. But God says we would see more and more of it in the world around us, this boasting and pride. So, of course, what does God say to us as Christians relative to pride? Anybody?
Don't
Are we to have any? Never. Humble yourselves. We're told all through the scriptures to be humble. God resisteth the proud. And to always live a life of humility. But we would see around us pride. And James 4:16 is a good verse. Let's turn there. Jackie, if you read that for us, James 4:16.
But now ye rejoice in your boastings, all such rejoicing is evil.
So rejoicing in your boastings is evil. God says so. Amen? So we're not to rejoice in our boastings, because we're not to have any boastings. Because boastings is pride. So God says there would be more and more of this here in these last days. This, the boasting, the pride. And of course we all see it all around us, don't we? So thoughts or questions about this 10th characteristic. That there would be a prevalence of pride and boastings. Yeah. Yeah, that was his underlying sin, wasn't it? It was pride.
And it's his own fault, too.
Yes, it is. Any other thoughts or questions about pride or boastings in our here in these last days? Let's jump to the next one then, 2 Timothy 3:2, blasphemers. Believe it or not, it was actually considered socially unacceptable 60, 70 years ago to take God's name in vain. Now it is so commonplace because you hear it everywhere, not only on the television, but everywhere. You know, I took that secular job for a year and a half, and it was like it was so natural in a daily everyday conversation for people to take God's name in vain, to blaspheme God's name. It's pretty sad when we get to that point, isn't it? Now we know who's behind it all, and that's the God of this world, because he hates God and he hates God's children. But blasphemy, God says, go to Colossians 3:8, God says it should never be part of a Christian's life. Who do I have left that I haven't picked on? Brad, read that for us if you would. Colossians 3:8.
But now you also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication.
Blasphemy. So God says, once you're born again, put it off. It's part of the old man. He says, put off the blasphemy. Do we see or do we hear blasphemy all around us? It's amazing, isn't it? How commonplace it is for people to blaspheme the name of our Creator. It's become so commonplace that it just doesn't even face people anymore. It's amazing. Thoughts or questions about this one? Now, for us as Christians, blasphemy includes when we disobey God publicly. But Tanya?
We have to be careful what the world considers and how they say things. Like, I see Christians using OMG a lot. And the world doesn't see that as, oh my goodness. They see it the other way.
Yep.
So if we use it, they're just assuming we're saying it that way. And so it's important to even avoid the things that the world uses to blaspheme his name.
Absolutely. I agree. There's a lot of replacement, I call them replacement swearing, that takes place. Let's just not swear at all. Yes?
I cannot understand why people who don't believe in God use his name in a defamatory way. Is it just to humiliate?
It's because the God of this world has made it a natural thing, because he hates God. People don't know what they're doing, the world. They don't know that they're blaspheming God. They don't care, but they don't really know. It's just become, they probably grew up with it. They have it at work all the time, and so that people just tend to become like the people they hang out with, right? The Bible says that. Jackie?
When it talks about blasphemy, is it talking specifically just about using God's name in vain, or is it doing anything like as a Christian in the name of God or in the service of God, but without that awe and reverence that we ought to?
Well, that's what I said earlier, is for a Christian, our behavior can be blasphemous. That passage in Titus 2 says, lest the name of God be blasphemed through your behavior. So we as Christians can blaspheme God by having a bad testimony. But the world blasphemes God all the time with their speech. Yes, Christine?
I was just thinking about churches that are now saying that homosexuality is okay, and that because God loves everyone, and that to me is blasphemous, because you're making sin. You're essentially saying that God condones sin when he clearly doesn't, and you're putting the name of God on it. And so it just...
Well, that's a good point. I mean, God's word can be blasphemed, right? Because God is Jesus, or the Word is Jesus, and Jesus is the Word. And so for a church to teach something that's 100% contrary to the Word of God, that is blasphemous. So that's a very good point. But the passage I was referring to, where is it? It is talking about women specifically, but it's a good example. Titus 2:5, it says that the Word of God be not blasphemed. But the phrase is talking about, it says, be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their husbands. In other words, obey God, or your disobeying God can be blasphemous. That's just one example. It's in other parts in the New Testament. So our behavior as God's children can be blasphemous, because we're essentially saying, yes, this is what God teaches and this is what God says is right. And I, as one of God's representatives and children, I'm doing the opposite. So by doing that, I'm blaspheming the Word of God. Because he specifically says there, the Word of God be blasphemed. You can blaspheme the Word of God through your behavior as a Christian. But the world is constantly blaspheming God as well. And God said that would be one of the characteristics of the last days, as blasphemers. Any other thoughts or questions about this 11th characteristic, blasphemers? Rachel? Shortened, abbreviated. That's what I mean. There's a lot of that that goes on, this replacement swearing. Check yourself. Mark?
Even the word gosh is actually used a lot in this word God.
It just goes on and on.
We
yeah. And we just pick it up. If we're around it, we hear it all the time, we pick it up. Maybe from our parents, like I say, maybe from people at school, maybe people we work with. And we don't even think about it, that maybe we're just using a replacement swearing. So just don't say any of them. Mark? No, it's not an excuse. So just don't do it. So the room was empty. I dealt with the same thing when I worked for that short time. Yep. It didn't take long for it to where people just stopped doing it in my meetings. because they knew I wouldn't tolerate it. But and sometimes they would slip up and apologize. I never asked them to, but that again, that goes back to this guilty conscience thing. But a lot of times they're not even aware they're doing it. But when you mention it and say to them, I love God, and it hurts me when you use his name in vain like that, because I love him and he's my friend, and it's like it'd be like me using your wife's name in vain. That's how it feels to me. That's how I would explain it to them, because it's usually men, sadly, although women are doing it too. But anyway, one of the characteristics of the last days would be blasphemy. It's all around us. So the trumpet's coming soon. Amen? And we're going to talk about that in the next service. So we'll stop there at number 11, blasphemy. Next week we'll look at disobedient to parents. We never see that, do we? Unthankful, unholy, all these characteristics of the last days. It just makes it obvious Jesus is coming.